Today we do a deep dive into 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah has a power encounter between the God of Israel and Baal, and he calls down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice on the altar that has been drenched in water. He also calls upon the Lord to end the drought and bring forth the rain, where there's been a drought for several years. This is an amazing chapter to see the power of God move through the prophet Elijah. Don't miss it. Join us. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 17th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Numbers 10. 16-36. They were joined by the troops of the tribe of Issachar, led by Nethanel, son of Zuar, and the troops of the tribe of Zebulun, led by Eliab, son of Helon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the Gershonite and Merarite divisions of the Levites were next in the line of march, carrying the tabernacle with them. Reuben's troops went next, marching behind their banner. Their leader was Elizur, son of Shedur. They were joined by the troops of the tribe of Simeon, led by Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai, and the troops of the tribe of Gad, led by Eliasaph, son of Deuel. Next came the Kohathite division of the Levites, carrying the sacred objects from the tabernacle. Before they arrived at the next camp, the tabernacle would already be set up at its new location. Ephraim's troops went next, marching behind their banner. Their leader was Elishama, son of Ammihud. They were joined by the troops of the tribe of Manasseh, led by Gamaliel, son of Pedazur, and the troops of the tribe of Benjamin, led by Abidan, son of Gideoni. Dan's troops went last, marching behind their banner and serving as the rear guard for all the tribal camps. Their leader was Ahiezer, son of Ammishaddai. They were joined by the troops of the tribe of Asher, led by Pagiel, son of Okran, and the troops of the tribe of Naphtali, led by Ahira, son of Enan. This was the order in which the Israelites marched, division by division. One day Moses said to his brother-in-law Hobab, son of Reuel the Midianite, "We are on our way to the place the Lord promised us, for he said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised wonderful blessings for Israel." But Hobab replied, "No, I will not go. I must return to my own land and family." "Please don't leave us," Moses pleaded. "You know the places in the wilderness where we should camp. Come, be our guide. If you do, we'll share with you all the blessings the Lord gives us." They marched for 3 days after leaving the mountain of the Lord, with the Ark of the Lord's Covenant moving ahead of them to show them where to stop and rest. As they moved on each day, the cloud of the Lord hovered over them. And whenever the Ark set out, Moses would shout, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let them flee before you." And when the Ark was set down, he would say, "Return, O Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel." First Kings 18, 1-46. After many months passed, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Now Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. Once when Jezebel had tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in 2 caves. He had put 50 prophets in each cave and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "We must check every spring and valley to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules." So they divided the land between them. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was walking along, he saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once and fell to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" he asked. "Yes, it is," Elijah replied. "Now go and tell your master I am here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, "what harm have I done to you that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you. And each time when he was told Elijah isn't here, King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of his claim. And now you say, go and tell your master that Elijah is here. But as soon as I leave you, the spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in 2 caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you say, go and tell your master that Elijah is here. Sir, if I do that, I'm as good as dead. But Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab today. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet him. So it's you, is it, Israel's troublemaker? Ahab asked when he saw him. I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now bring all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel with all 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and he said, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring 2 bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood. So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal all morning, shouting, O Baal, answer us! But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced wildly around the altar they had made. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed, for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep in thought, or he is relieving himself, or maybe he is away on a trip, or he is asleep and needs to be awakened. So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of evening sacrifice, but still, there was no reply, no voice, no answer. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the Lord's altar. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. After they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now do it a third time. So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even overflowed the trench. At the customary time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the ditch. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and cried out, "The Lord is God! The Lord is God!" Then Elijah commanded, "Seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape." So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go and enjoy a good meal, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab prepared a feast, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and fell to the ground and prayed. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, but he returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look, and 7 times he went. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, 'Climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you.'" And sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Now the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Acts 11:1-30. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, some of the Jewish believers criticized him. "You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them," they said. Then Peter told them exactly what had happened. "One day in Joppa," he said, "while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a large sheet was let down by its 4 corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of small animals, wild animals, reptiles, and birds that we are not allowed to eat. And I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat them.' 'Never, Lord,' I replied. 'I have never eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws.' But the voice from heaven came again. 'If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't.' This happened 3 times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up to heaven. Just then, 3 men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry about their being Gentiles. These 6 brothers here accompanied me, and we soon arrived at the home of the man who had sent for us. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa to find Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and all your household will be saved.' Well, I began telling them the good news, but just as I was getting started, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to argue?" When the others heard this, all their objections were answered and they began praising God. They said, "God has given also the Gentiles the privilege of turning from sin and receiving eternal life." Meanwhile, the believers who had fled from Jerusalem during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the good news, but only to Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was upon them, and large numbers of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this proof of God's favor, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and large numbers of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to find Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching great numbers of people. It was there at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings to predict by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Psalm 135, 1-21. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you who serve the Lord, you who serve in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Celebrate his wonderful name with music. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his own special treasure. I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God. The Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth, and on the seas and in their depths. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind with his storehouses. He destroyed the firstborn in each Egyptian home, both people and animals. He performed miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt. Pharaoh and all his people watched. He struck down great nations and slaughtered the mighty kings: Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. He gave their land as an inheritance, a special possession to his people Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, is known to every generation. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. Their idols are merely things of silver and gold, shaped by human hands. They cannot talk, though they have mouths, or see, though they have eyes. They cannot hear with their ears or smell with their noses, and those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. O Israel, praise the Lord. O priests of Aaron, praise the Lord. O Levites, praise the Lord. All you who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord be praised from Zion, for he lives here in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 17:12 and 13. It is safer to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than to confront a fool caught in folly. If you repay evil for good, evil will never leave your house. I want to speak to you today from our reading from 1 Kings chapter 18. In this chapter, we see a power encounter and a power confrontation between Baal and the God of Israel. I have always been fascinated with Elijah, the prophet, because he walked in incredible power and incredible faith. And so he has an altar built up on the top of Mount Carmel. And I've actually been there to the top of Mount Carmel. They've made kind of a beautiful garden up there, and you can have a commanding view of the valley down below, and a memorial stone and some garden and flowers. It's very beautiful up there. Anyway, he has an altar built to the God of Israel. And then he says, okay, this is a contest now between Baal and between the God of Israel and Baal. You build your altar for an offering and I'll build mine. And so he actually taunts them. And they call out to Baal, and he says, You'll have to shout louder, for surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought, or maybe he's relieving himself. Or maybe he's away on a trip, or he's asleep and needs to be awakened. So he's taunting them. And, you know, nothing happens. They cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out and raved all afternoon, and nothing happened. So then Elijah calls upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself. And then immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the ditch. And then when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and cried out, The Lord is God! The Lord is God! So, man, I would have liked to have been there to see this. I just so admire the faith that he has to believe and trust. That God would respond as he asked him to. So he obviously had a close relationship with the Lord. He received orders from him, took commands from him, and was obedient to him and trusted him to do what he did. And he didn't just put up an altar with wood. He also got it soaking wet. He had all kinds of water poured all over the wood and a ditch all around it so that it would be obvious that when it burns, it was a miracle. And so then there's been a drought for, I don't know, a couple of years. And Elijah rushes up to Ahab and tells him, climb into your chariot and go home. And if you don't hurry, the rain is going to stop you. So now he also has the command. He calls upon the Lord to end the drought and to send the rain. And he's persistent about it. So he calls upon the servant to look in the sky. And each time he says, no, there's nothing. It's just a blue sky. And finally on the seventh time, he says, oh, I see a small little cloud. Now, it's that not that difficult. I have seen this in my own life about weather. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and here where I live, it rains a lot. And I can't tell you how many times I wanted to go on a hike, and I'm driving along and it's pouring rain. I get to the parking lot where the trailhead is, and I pray and I say, Lord, would you please hold the rain back so I could get out and enjoy this hike and enjoy your nature and your creation. And by golly, the rain stops. And I go on my hike, and I'm gone for maybe an hour, hour and a half. I come back to the parking lot, and as soon as I get in the car, the rain starts up again. One time, it was snowing, and it had been snowing quite a bit in Salem. And it started to snow once again, and we just had some snow, and then there's now more snow, and it's really hard to maneuver. We're not really very well prepared here. Like in places like Ohio or New York, they get lots of snow. They've got snow plows. They clear the roads. But here, everything just stops. They don't have like the same kind of snow plows. So I just prayed and I said, Lord, it's really dangerous to be out on the road driving with all this snow. Would you please hold the snow back? And by golly, within 30 seconds, the snow stopped. And it just stopped. So I have seen this myself. When we pray prayers in faith, and we're not doing it in a facetious manner, it's for a real practical reason. He can hold the weather back. He can change the weather. Now, I may ask for it to not rain, but maybe the farmers need rain because there's been a drought and they need the rain for their crops. So, you know, God ultimately is going to make the right and the best decision as to how to answer the prayer. But if he can do microclimate and hold back the rain just in this one area where I happen to be hiking, but it's raining in other places, and God is God and he can do anything. Keep in mind, Jesus also in the New Testament, when he walked out on the Sea of the Galilee, and there was a huge storm going on, and there was wind and there was waves, and the disciples were in the boat and they were scared spitless. And Yeshua, Jesus, spoke to the wind and the waves, and he commanded them, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves stopped. That is the power that we have access to when we pray prayers of faith. So I've seen a little bit of being able to pray and see God change the weather, but I've never seen anything like fire called down from heaven like what Elijah did here. That was tremendous. That was amazing. But yet, if we have the faith, and if there's a good reason to call down fire from heaven, I mean, this basically put the God of Baal, it bit the dust. The people saw quite clearly that the God of Baal was worthless and, you know, had no power whatsoever. And to them, they saw in this mighty contest that it was the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's real and living and active and listens to his servants and answers prayer to his servants. Okay, may we all walk in a greater measure of faith, trusting in you, and may we call upon the power of the name of Jesus for healing, for deliverance, for miracles, for putting you on display so that you get all the glory. I pray that you will increase our faith, Father God. Increase our faith so that we could do mighty exploits in the same way that Elijah did. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Mereka ya Adonai panavilaka vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav ilekha vayasein lekha lekha shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.